Well, man, it is great to see you. Go ahead and have a seat and grab a Bible. Turn to the book of Luke. Hope you've got a Bible with you. If not, there's some always in the back and you can grab one. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to grab one and take one of those with you. We just want you to have one and be in God's Word. So we're in the house of the Lord this morning. We are surrounded. How many sinners do we have in the room? Let's just get it out there. Okay, see? So we're all good. How many of you sinned over the last couple days around the, yeah, see, we just need to confess, don't we? And it's good to see you. It looks like you guys are doing okay coming out of the food coma, all right, from Thanksgiving. I'm taking to the grandpa thing really well. Taught my grandson how to take whipped cream shooters out of the whipped cream can. Right? So, yeah, that's some fun stuff. That's what grandparenting is all about, right? But it is great to have you guys all here. Now, we're here at the beginning of the Christmas season. It doesn't seem like we were just here just not too long ago, right? It just keeps rolling faster and faster through the whole time. Now, how many of you have Christmas traditions, like serious Christmas traditions that it's like you got to do these things, right, in your home? Okay, on the count of three, just yell out one of your traditions. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Yeah, see, I like tamales, making tamales around the holiday season, that's one of ours. You know, it's like how we get the tree and how we get the tree in the house, how we decorate and all the other things. How many of you have rules, Christmas rules around your house? Anyone got rules? Okay, yeah. So our big rule in our family has always been no Christmas songs until after Thanksgiving. Okay? Now, I have to tell you, how many of you agree? You all agree? Okay. How many of you say no? How many of you are rebels? Yeah, see, I have some rebels in my family, some daughters that, man, they just can't help it. And you know why? Because Hallmark. Hallmark hits it early and gets everybody in the mood. And so the girls start watching the Hallmark movies. In fact, I broke down and got my wife a Hallmark t-shirt, you know, so she can watch all of her Christmas movies while she's enjoying the holidays. And so the songs just start happening. But that was our rule. Our rule was, hey, we don't listen to the Christmas songs until after Thanksgiving, but every Thanksgiving when we were usually on the way from one house to the other and usually like on our way out to the ranch that our family always went to, we would listen to Once Upon a Christmas by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, okay? And even still to this day, that is the one that it's kind of our go-to, the first one we listen to, and everyone has all the songs memorized and everybody sings at the top of their lungs and everybody just enjoys because one thing about Christmas is definitely it has its own flavor when it comes to music, right? How many of you just love the songs of Christmas? Yes. So I set out to find out what amongst the people that I know would be some of the most popular Christmas songs. And so I did a little poll the last couple days on pulled my Facebook friends and asked what were the most popular songs. The thing that cracked me up the most was that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer actually it beat out Away in the Manger, which might tell you something about my friends, I guess. I don't know. So I'm a little scared. But to redeem that, there was a tie for fourth place. Tie for fourth place was Joy to the World and The First Noel. Okay, those are great go-to standard songs. In third place was Silent Night. Okay, yeah, you got to have some Silent Night in there for Christmas. Number two was Mary, Did You Know? Okay, and man, I have great memories of my dad and my sister singing that song together, and pretty amazing a song. And then the one, can you guys, before we put it up there, can you guess what was the number one song? What was it? Yeah, Oh Holy Night was the number one Christmas song. Now that's just among my friends and things like that, or at least my friends on Facebook, but songs are huge. And in order to find the very first Christmas song, if you really go back and look throughout all of history, to find the very first Christmas songs, you have to go all the way back to the very first Christmas, to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. In those two chapters, there are four songs that are part of the original Christmas story. And it seems like even though I knew they were there, we'd always just kind of fly right past these songs of Christmas. And you know, one of the challenges that we have every year in church is because you have the same stories every year, right, to tell for Christmas. And so the challenge is, how are we going to tell this story in kind of a fresh way? And so one of the things that I do every year, I just print out the Christmas story from Matthew and Luke and some of the things from John. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, he just jumps right to, you know, Jesus' adulthood and things like that. But I print out all the Christmas story, and then I just read it over and over and over again. And I try to let something just pop off the page. And this year, what just really popped out was these four songs. And probably because of the translation I was reading, the headings, it said Mary's song, Zachariah's song, the angel's song, Simeon's song. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into these incredible pieces of scripture that tell us the Christmas story, but through these amazing songs in Luke chapter 1 and 2. Now, as we do this, it's going to be pretty amazing to see all that God has done and to do it through song. You see, there's something that was so amazing about the arrival of Jesus that when he broke into the world, a song broke out. And while he didn't come to the earth with all of the pomp and circumstance that you might think would accompany a coming king, he certainly would come to a world that was full of singing. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the first song in the original Christmas playlist, if you will. And that's Mary's song. But before we take a look at the lyrics of Mary's song, we want to dive into a little bit of the background of her song. Like, how did she get there? And how did these words come to her? So first, let's take a look at Mary's situation in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And so take a look there with me where it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and this is her relative, probably an aunt. We'll get back to, we'll look at that next week. But God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, how many of you been to Nazareth before? We got several people. A bunch of us got to go there this last year in June. It was an amazing experience to actually be at the place where Jesus lived. And then, so the angel came to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. So how many of you have heard that story before? Probably many, many times, right? And for all of us that grew up in Sunday school and all of us that grew up in church, we've heard this song, we've heard these words so many times that we really almost have the story pretty much memorized. And so we know where this story is going before it even gets there. And if we're not careful, what we can do is we can project that on Mary. We can think that Mary knows all that's about to happen too. But we've got to remind ourselves this, that Mary is totally caught off guard. That Mary has no idea what's happening. That Mary has no idea where this is all going to lead. And it catches her totally by surprise. And imagine yourself in Mary's shoes. I mean, well, what we know about Mary is that she's a young virgin. She's probably about 15 years old. That she's engaged, betrothed. It's pretty much the same as, you know, being engaged, but even a little more binding. And she was engaged to a guy named Joseph. And then one thing, I know a thing or two personally about what it looks like to have a young engaged girl in your house, okay? We just got rid of some of those in our house, right? We got them married off. Now, even the most unorganized, and I'm not saying that about any of my daughters, okay? But even the most unorganized of them start to make plans, right? I mean, do you know how many million copies of Bride magazine are sold every year, right? There's a whole bunch of them still laying around at our house because they start to make plans. They start to wonder, you know, what's the ceremony going to look like? They start worrying about the invitation list. They start worrying about all the things and the bridal registries and all these other things. And they start to make plans and they start to have dreams and all of these incredible things. And so can you imagine Mary? Mary had to have had some pretty incredible plans as well. What was the wedding going to be like? What would life with Joseph be like? She knew that they would have children, but she knew the order of things as well. And so she was thinking about the guest list, not a surprise pregnancy. I mean, after all, they have never done, well, you know, what it takes. And we're told that she was highly favored by God. For most of us, a surprise pregnancy doesn't sound like a favor from God, does it? It sounds almost like just the opposite. But in verse 29, it tells us, it says that that Mary was troubled, and all God's people said, duh, right? Like, of course you're troubled. If you're a young teenage girl who's about to get married, and you've been making all these wedding plans, and you've got the wedding list, and you got all the stuff, and the bridal registry's done, and you're making little party favors and all that kind of stuff for your upcoming wedding, and then an angel shows up and says, hey, we're going to change all those plans on you. Things get a little crazy. And she realizes that this whole change, that what happens here, what the angel is suggesting here, could cause all kinds of trouble in her life. She knows if what the angel said is true, that Joseph could divorce her. Or worse yet, according to the Jewish law, he could actually have her taken outside the city gates and stoned to death for her unfaithfulness. Now, at the very least, she would always be seen by the people of the town as the promiscuous one. She either did it with Joseph before they were married, or she cheated on him and is pregnant with somebody else's child. Either way, the eyes of the people of Nazareth, they will never look at her the same. What God's favor on Mary did, what it looked like favor from God, actually looked like shame to other people. And certainly her heart would be troubled because of all of that. And I wonder if Mary ever pondered the upside. I think her song hints that she did, that she would give birth to the Savior of the world, that she would hold in her arms the one that created the universe. Can you imagine that? She would be the mother of the very first and only perfect child. Could you imagine the bumper sticker on her car? My child created your honor student. You know, there's only one of those bumper stickers out there. But Mary had no idea how this was all going to turn out. All she had as a roadmap for any of this was faith. Now, since she was a virgin, and since her and Joseph had never, well, you know, she had a few questions. They were not if questions. They weren't questions of doubt, like whether or not this was going to happen. Her questions were how questions. And as you can imagine, a young teenage girl, she's thinking, hey, how is this all going to happen? And think of the things that are going through her mind. Because she knows how babies happen, right? And she's wondering, like, well, how is this going to happen for me? And she's wondering, you know, I mean, is she supposed to go tell Joseph? Is he getting the same message? Actually, he's getting a different message. And then are they supposed to come together before all of this? Or how is this going to happen? But the angel tells her exactly what's going to happen. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One, to catch up, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will ever fail. Some translations say, because nothing is impossible with God. And that's where Mary put her faith, that nothing would be impossible for God. And Mary's response is an incredible testimony to this faith that she has. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Think about the faith that it took for Mary to say those words. If you're a person that circles, highlights in your Bible, this is one of the greatest statements of faith, I think, in all of Scripture, where Mary, who doesn't know all the details of how it's all going to turn out, she says to herself, "I am willing. I am the Lord's servant. Let this thing that you're talking about happen in my life." Mary places all of her plans, all of her hopes, all of her dreams on the table and pushes them to the center and says, "Father, you can have all of it." What an incredible act of faith from a 15-year-old girl. Man. See, the question for us today is this: is your faith bigger than your plans? I mean, think about that for just a minute. Is your faith really bigger than your plans? You guys have lots of plans. You probably have lots of plans for today. I mean, some of you already had plans. Some of you may be planning to go out and get your Christmas tree today. Some of you are going to start shopping. I know that's probably not the men. They'll wait for another 24 days or so, right? But some of you have plans. You have big plans. You have hopes and dreams and all these things, and they're all wonderful, and we pray that many of them come from the Father, but the reality is your faith bigger than the plans that you've made? See, we have full calendars, lots of dreams, but when God calls, does His will win over in your life? Is your faith bigger than your plans? See, Mary's words where she says, "May your word to me be fulfilled," it sounds a whole lot like what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours." And is that the faith cry of our hearts? Is that the song that our hearts sing? That, "Lord, you can have it all. That, Lord, let your will be done in my life. And let my faith be bigger than my plan." See, while Mary got her calling from the angelic messenger, though, her Aunt Elizabeth really plays an important part. And she gives her a special message of affirmation. So look at verse 39. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" I mean, what an amazing story. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into Elizabeth's story next week. But Elizabeth is already expecting John the Baptist, right? She's expecting, and as soon as she comes in, John the Baptist can't wait until he's even born to announce the birth of Jesus. And the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth declares, she says, "Man, the moment I heard your voice, the child inside of me leapt." There could have been lots of reasons that Mary would have left Nazareth and headed to Jerusalem. Maybe her parents, out of shame, just said, "Hey, you got to get out of here." Maybe Mary thought to herself, "Man, I got to get out of here. I got to get away from the sneering eyes and the gossip of a small town like Nazareth." Maybe she wanted some confirmation because the angel had said, "Hey, even Elizabeth, your relative in her old age, is going to have a child." Maybe she wanted to go confirm that. You know, they didn't have a cell phone back then. She just couldn't, you know, she couldn't message Elizabeth and say, "Hey, are you pregnant these days?" So she heads to Jerusalem and she goes in to see Elizabeth. But wherever she goes, she walks away from Elizabeth, not only with confirmation, but with incredible affirmation. Think about it. Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. One of the greatest gifts that Elizabeth gave was a gift of affirmation to Mary. What she just told Mary was basically this: I see Jesus in you. I see what God is doing in your life. Folks, faith, as we read earlier, faith is sometimes faith is hard. Sometimes it just rocks our world. It messes up our plans. It tweaks our hopes and dreams. So let's encourage and affirm each other when we're going through our faith journeys. And so this Christmas, one thing that I want to encourage every single one of us to do is find opportunities to give the gift of affirmation to other people. I know some of you in your room, your love language is words of affirmation, right? We all need to be affirmed. And in Mary's case, she especially needed to know that somebody else understood, that somebody else was walking with her, that somebody else was on her side, and that somebody else could see what God was doing in her life. And so I want to encourage you this holiday season to find different ways to affirm one another, to look around, not just in this room, but look around in your life and find people who you could look at and say, I see Jesus in you. Don't just notice it and go on. Actually take the time to look at other people and say, I see Jesus in you. So we're going to practice that together, okay? Count of three, everybody say, I see Jesus in you. One, two, three. I see Jesus in you. Now, look to the person on your right, okay, and say it. I see Jesus in you. Now, look to the person on your left and say, you not so much. No. Say, no. Say, I see Jesus in you. Okay? Practice that. Folks, think about it. You can't say that enough at Christmas. People are dying in our world just to be affirmed. And again, don't make things up. Don't stretch it. Don't lie. But man, when you see Jesus, the light of Jesus in somebody, would you take the opportunity this Christmas to do what Elizabeth did and affirm Jesus' presence in somebody's life? I see Jesus in you. Can make somebody's holiday. So let's be generous with that. So after hearing Elizabeth's words, Mary gets inspired and she bursts into song. Like we said, when Jesus burst forth onto the earth burst forth into song, and Mary is no exception. So starting in verse 46, Mary says these words. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, what an amazing song that Mary sings. And it starts out, and I want to give us four things that inspire Mary in her song. The first is this. The first thing is she just praises. It says, Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. See, Mary recognized that she's basically a nobody from nowhere. Nazareth was a small town. In fact, there's one time when one of the apostles brought somebody to Jesus, and he said, hey, we found this guy, he's from Nazareth, and what he said was, can any good thing come from Nazareth? I mean, Nazareth was a nowhere town, but Mary recognizes she just doesn't have all the things early that people think you would need to offer in order to be chosen like this, but yet God chose her. God's greatest gifts, they always come wrapped in humility. And humility, now remember, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And Mary is thinking less about her situation, and she's thinking more about the world's situation. That she is somebody who is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And she places that as the highest priority. And the world, one of the important things, a statement I heard this last week I thought was great was this: when the world does not recognize your worth, remember the worth of the one who lives in you and the price that he paid for you. Folks, you have value because God not only created you, but he paid the ultimate price for your salvation. So she goes on, she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. I mean, that's true. We all know who Mary is, right? And there are some who probably venerate Mary just a little too much and place her on a pedestal that she would probably be embarrassed by. But I think there's some of us that don't respect Mary enough. And the faith that this young woman displayed and the life that she gave in order that we could be saved. And so at Christmas time, let's grow in our respect for Mary and let's sing along with her as she says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The mighty one has done great things for me. Now, the question this morning is this. What great things has the mighty one done for you today? Are you in a regular habit of recognizing what the mighty one has done in your life? I mean, we get pretty used to thinking that most of the stuff in our life, most of the stuff that happens to us, we're pretty quick to take credit for it, aren't we? And I want to encourage you this Christmas season more than ever to just acknowledge the reality that the mighty one has done all those things for you. Holy is his name, not my name. I mean, we need to take good count of the blessings that God has given to us this holiday season and reflect on the reality that God continues to do great things for us, and holy is his name. So she starts off by praising God, and then she really pronounces this protection that God gives her and gives to all of us. It says in verse 50, it says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. Wouldn't we love to see Jesus do that again? To toss the ones who are haughty, the ones who are prideful, the ones who think they have the greatest position. He says, no, the ones who are in the greatest position in the kingdom of heaven are the humble servants. And the question for us again is this, how have you seen God's hand of protection on you? How have you seen God working all things together for your good? Or do we start to just dwell on the things that are happening, what's right happening in front of us, the things that are difficult for us, and do we just kind of dwell on the hard things, or do we recognize God's hand of protection and the things that God is doing that we don't even sometimes recognize until we get past them? But God is doing incredible things to protect us. And he always has, and the most important thing is that he offers protection from our ultimate fear, the fear of death, through his son Jesus Christ, as he offers eternal life to us and an eternity with him. So Mary bursts forth and says, we have a God who protects, we have a God who saves. And then she acknowledges God's incredible provision. In verse 53, she says this, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. I imagine a young girl like Mary living in a town like Nazareth back in this day and age probably understood what hungry meant. You know, just before this whole thing, you know, we always associate the holiday season. I was thinking about the reality that Mary probably didn't have a Thanksgiving feast right before the angel came. Mary probably understood what a small town life, a life living on the farm, a life where you were just dependent on what happened in the fields. And she probably understood these things like much of the world does today. And do we recognize always the incredible provision that God has for us? Do we recognize that we have been incredibly blessed more than everyone else on earth? And are we quick and generous to give what God has provided for us? I think one of the most exciting things that our family has done year after year after year, in fact, one of the sad things having all the girls get married is Brenda and I are going to go do our Christmas box on our own, right? But there's something incredibly special about Christmas time when we give to others. And that's why if you've never been before, one of these days you've got to go to Mexico and give out these boxes. To see the smile on a child's face where that little box may be all the Christmas that they receive and how excited they are to get it is pretty incredible. But do we think regularly about God's incredible provision for us? I mean, how has God's hand provided for you just this last week? This season, especially, when you are tempted to think of all the things that you think you need, would you remember that really all you truly need is a Savior? And then thank Him for the incredible gifts that He has given to us. So Mary, she praises Him, she thanks Him for protection, she acknowledges His provision, and then lastly, she moves on to recognize God's incredible promises. And she says this starting in verse 54, "He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." You see, Mary looks back and recognize that this is part of God's continual promise that He made to Abraham. And we'll talk more about that again next week. But the reality is that God has always been a promise-keeping God. And Mary recognizes that this is just another move in that direction as God's fulfilling His ultimate promise that all the world would be blessed through a Messiah that would come. And how has God fulfilled His promises to you? I mean, listen to Mary's statement again. "The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name." She is saying yes to the plans and purposes of God. And saying yes to those plans and purposes was not easy for Mary. It had to have been difficult. But she reminds us that you can have a busy holiday, you can give gifts, you can deck the halls and all that stuff, but you will never fully understand Christmas until you have faith. So will you join Mary and sing the song of faith this Christmas? Will you make sure that you recognize all of God's goodness and all that He's given at this Christmas season? I mean, maybe the greatest act of faith that you will have this Christmas is acknowledging that God, the God of the universe, has chosen you, just like He chose Mary. And He wants to do incredible things in your life. The question is, will you give Him your plans and your hopes and your dreams? Will you let God do everything in your life that He wants to do? Will you let your faith be bigger than your plans? And will you say yes to a God that wants to do so much for you, that wants to protect you, wants to provide, wants to be the source of all of your fulfilled promises? Will you, like Mary, let your faith be bigger than all of your plans? And the question ultimately is this: will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say yes to letting Him in? And as we recognize all that Jesus has done for us, we certainly remember that when Jesus came, while the earth breaks into song, that our hearts also know that not too often the distant future is the picture of a cross. A cross where Jesus would give the ultimate gift to you and to me. He would give His very life. And He would sacrifice to give us the ultimate protection, to provide salvation for us, and to fulfill all of His promises. And so this morning, as we gather around His table, as we do each week, as we take communion, will you take time to reflect on those questions? Is your faith bigger than your plans? And can He have your plans? Will you reflect on all of God's provision? How has He provided? How has the Mighty One done good things for you? And then would you this week find people to affirm? And affirm that you see Jesus in them. Jesus has given everything for us so that we could live with Him forever. And that truly is the meaning of His coming at Christmas. And that's why our hearts sing. So as we prepare to take communion, reflect on Jesus' gift, reflect on Jesus' love, and reflect that he has given everything for us. And let your heart sing in faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great things that you have done in our lives. And Father, we pray that we can be more like Mary, who hands over the keys to our life and just says, Lord, we want you to reign. We want you to rule. We want you to be the one whose will is done. And Father, we pray, Father, that Lord God, you would help us see the miraculous provision that you made in Christmas. That Father, you sent your one and only Son to give his life on our behalf. And Father, we come to you with great expectations of all that you want to do in our lives. And Father, we thank you most of all that this infant king came not simply to sit on a throne, but to hang on a cross, to shed his blood so that we could have eternal life. And Father, we thank you for that incredible gift. And Father, we proclaim with Mary that the Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.